When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Folks, if you'd like a copy of my best-selling first book, Tales of a First Round Nothing, head on over to ecwpress.com. If you'd like a copy of my second book, Tales with TR, Fights, Film, and Folklore, head on over to www.flankerpress.com. If you'd like either copy personalized, just add a note. Thanks for listening to my podcast, and happy reading.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
What do you advise? Hello. And welcome to Tales with GR, episode 196A, I believe. Good to be with you guys. I'm your host, Terry Ryan Jr. And I'm glad to be with you. Again, today I'm traveling a lot, but gives me peace of mind to get back and hold this microphone and realize that I'm having a conversation of sorts with lots of awesome people that are into hockey, music, whatever it might be. Appreciate all you guys, really do. I hope you enjoyed Jeremy Roenick last week. And of course, Princess right here next to me, doesn't leave my side, but Princess had the interview come to an end. She ruined, I'm not going to say ruined the interview, but she cut it short by stepping on a cord, yanking the computer out of the wall, and in turn, something happened. Not sure, but it shut our interview down short. Now, that being said, JR's a great guy, and he told me he'd come on for volume 2 whenever I wanted. So we're going to wait a little bit and maybe bring him on when he's less busy in the summer, whatever. I always wary about that, too, if people are busy. Like JR did that. He had his own podcast that day. He told me he was in the middle of 2 or 3 days worth of a lot of radio/podcast time. He was going to do some charity events and going on a vacation. So the guy was real busy, and I really appreciate his time. So anyway, I've been traveling a lot. Thank you to Brooks, Alberta. What a time last week. Good to get back to Alberta, of course. I hadn't been to Brooks in a long time. Brooks is a smaller town, maybe 15,000 people, give or take an hour and 45 from Calgary. Towards Medicine Hat kind of thing, like east of Calgary. So I hadn't been there in a while. The last time I was there was to do work on, I didn't do my own hockey school. I helped out at a school that a bunch of senior hockey ex-pro guys were putting off in about 07, 08, around that time. And of course, I enjoyed it, but I was only in and out. I didn't really get a chance to see much of the community. This time, we We had an event. It was the annual sports dinner, annual sports dinner for the Brooks Bombers baseball team, which is a collegiate team. I didn't realize. I thought they were talking like senior AAA kind of thing, but it's a collegiate team. A lot of the kids play, a lot of Americans, a lot of Canadians playing in America. And their season starts roughly like a month from now, maybe go to the end of June. And I actually have a friend, Gerald Butt, who was drafted to the Yankees. Buddy from here, Newfoundland. Drafted to the Yankees and played like baseball here all the way up till he was 20. It's a wild story. We do have decent amateur baseball here. But anyway, Gerald's son plays for Medicine Hat in the same league. I didn't even realize that. It was very interesting that they have this baseball league full of prospects in Canada. I mean, I get it that, I saw a game in Edmonton. What's the name of that team? Edmonton. Oh, God. I got to look it up. Okay, it's the Edmonton Riverhawks now. Anyway, I went to see games there long ago when it was the Pacific Coast League, maybe. There's all kinds of levels of baseball, though. Those of you that aren't into baseball, that are into hockey, and you think it's hard to keep track of, like, the American League, the East Coast League, the United League, the Central League, if you want to keep going, the Southern Pro League, the Federal League. Well, the Southern Pro and Federal League in hockey are quite a few rungs down from the NHL, like probably the most that you could get. But the difference is they're not like full of prospects. It's guys that want to keep going, maybe a local team. And I think the Federal League's mostly in the Eastern Seaboard. Anything, hockey, the further you go down, the less prospects you're going to see. In baseball, there's so many leagues, so many. Some leagues go on for a month here and there, that, every small town, it seems, in America has some level of baseball professional or some level of professional baseball. I remember when I played in Colorado Springs, there was a team there. Was it the Sox, I think? And they often change owners and names and whatever. That's also a big thing. But baseball, a lot of the branch off, like the lower leagues, like, there's AAA and AA, obviously, and single A. But there's way more than that. And it's often... it's often prospects that want to get up. Now, not all of them do, but they're thinking, but way more do than in hockey when you get to that level, right? If you're playing in the Federal League in hockey, you're either on the way down from playing above that, or for the most part, you want to play hockey. You want to keep going. You want to make a few bucks. Generally, they have second jobs. Not so much the East Coast League, those are in the Central League. You go there, make some good money and everything. As far as I know, the Southern Professional League and the Federal League would probably be, I hate to say the worst, put guys down. They put their life into it, and some of them probably do. They haven't given up the dream, and who knows? People have gone down, and crazier things have happened. As I know it, I don't know anybody that's come from the Federal League to the NHL. I do think Southern Pro... I don't know if Scotty Darling dabbled down there for a bit, or there might be a few players. I know my buddy, Dave Roper, the equipment manager, did it. He's now with the Leafs, started down in the Southern Pro League. But anyway, I respect it all. I love it. I love watching. I love being a part of it, meaning commenting on it. I got nothing bad to say. I'm sure the further you go down, there must be more tilts. I'm looking at this guy now, Daniel Amesbury, came from the Federal League. Now he's playing in Fort Wayne, the coast. He's just fighting everybody. When people see Matt Rempe in the NHL, trust me, there's those guys, and you might think fighting is totally gone. It's not. There's fighters still in every league, less than there has been, but they certainly exist. Now, so I'm going to Boise. I'm going in. What's happening here is that I'm going to drive into Sun Valley. I'm leaving Thursday morning. I'm staying till Monday. And there's a Sun Valley Suns. It's they call it semi-pro. We probably call it senior hockey. Guys have played. I don't think it's on the level that our local senior hockey is here, or a, quite as serious, but they have a an annual game against, I believe, a team from New England. And you know, they play, I mean, I don't know, I look, it shows up on Elite Prospects here and there, so there must be some level of stat keeping. And I know there's hits, right? I'm playing on Friday and Saturday for the Sun Valley Suns. And yeah, I mean, of course there's hits, but they're not bringing me in to win. They're bringing me in because it's a fun, it's a celebration. When I say there's hits, I mean, I'm just giving you the rundown of, it's not a total charity game going around with your helmet off, globetrotting, you know, toe dragging, Michigan, whatever. It's not quite that. But you know, keep your head up kind of thing, play a game. Fans are coming to see it. I mean, I'm sure they're going to make a lot of money. It's not just me going in. I believe I'm the guest of honor, but it's good players that used to play. A lot of them for the Idaho Steelheads where I used to play. You know, they moved out to Sun Valley, nice resort town. Makes sense, right? So we're going to do that. We're going to go skiing. I'm going to do some local hits with the radio, TV, whatever it might be. Give them a bit of Ted Hitchcock, you know. I'm guessing that's part of the reason they're bringing me down, but I'm really looking forward to it. Now, the guy that's bringing me, that asked me to go, his name is Sean O'Grady. Sean played college hockey with a good friend of mine from here, Dave Manning. So I got to know him. He came here. He lived here for a couple of years. He actually played senior hockey here with Torbay and was a bartender. And, you know, right out of college, got to know him a little bit. That was probably 12 or 13 years ago. Well, Sean was on his way to becoming a doctor then, and now he is a doctor. So he lives in Sun Valley. He loves it. He went to San Diego, which is another great spot, but I guess he ended up in Sun Valley, he and his wife, and they love it. And like I said, there's a few ex-pros there, and they're bringing me down. And by the way, when I do these things, because people reach out and they'll say, hey, you know, next time you should come here, or come to Roanoke, or come to Austin, come... Guys, I'm not doing this for fun, for shits and giggles. And even when it's charity, of course, I'm making money. The goal is that, you know, I'm people would go, because sometimes I get back to people when they ask me and they said, oh, isn't it charity? You greedy fuck. No, I got to make a living, right? And this is part of it. But when, you know, I get paid X amount of dollars to come into your town and we generate more for the town. That's the way it works. So you give me X amount of dollars. I don't know, a smart made way to do it would be I sign some jerseys, maybe some sticks. In Brooks, they auction off just to eat with me, right? And the guy, the guests of honor were myself and Brent Kahn. Brent Kron, yeah. Who, wait, I want to get that right. Okay, Brent Kron. Anyway, he's a first round pick. Played for Dallas, mostly a minor leaguer, but the hockey journey, real interesting guy, works in the oil patch. So we went up on stage, we do a live Q&A before dinner and then after dinner, right? And it's hosted by a mediator and was, this time it was, you know, these fans were awesome and we had a great Q&A. But what happens is after the first Q&A, they'll auction us off to eat. So I think I got auctioned off just for the meal for $1,500. And then Brent, people know it's a fundraiser too on the way in. So, you know, it's usually some people that have deep pockets in town that want to raise some money for the local team or charity or whatever. And Brent went for, I think, $1,300 or $1,400. And then, you know, I signed a bunch of jerseys. They sell those. It's X amount of dollars to get into the banquet in the first place. Then you make money on the drinks and the silent auction. And so that's how it works. Of course, I do all kinds of charitable events, right? All kinds. And I, every year at usually around January, which I've done, I pick four or five charities. Might be a minor hockey system. It might be cancer research, whatever it would be. Usually they're things close to home. So I am charitable. But yeah, this is part of my living. And usually in these situations, everybody wins, right? You bring me in, I'm happy. I go home with a little bit of loot in my pocket, having met a lot more people. I get to promote I don't think of it like this, but I get to promote my podcast, my books or whatever. Word gets out there, good hockey people, Shorzy fans, right? Get to know a little bit about it. I mean, a lot of the fans, you know, let's be honest, more people these days want to know about Shorzy than 90s hockey, but there is a mix. And some places you go, especially if there's Habs fans, right, then it might go that direction. But anyway, that's what I'm doing. But this weekend in particular should be wild because, first of all, I'm into Ernest Hemingway. Into is the wrong word, but he's a famous American author. Ernest Hemingway was born around the turn of the century. I mean, like late 1800s, early 1900s, okay? His first books, so very famous American author, if you don't know who I'm talking about. And I remember when I lived in Boise, I drove up there for one day and we went in, there's his old watering hole. I mean, the guy drank a lot. And so his grave is there, his old places he used to hang out at. The place I'm staying in is real close to the saloon that he hung out at the most. And I'm interested in that. Ernest, you might have heard of his granddaughter. I think it was Mariel Hemingway. She was a famous actress for a while. I was real young, but I remember that. And anyway, so my favorite, I've covered a couple of books, okay? The Old Man and the Sea, you probably would have heard of. I did that in school. The Sun Also Rises. I remember that being awesome. Because I liked, sometimes schoolwork's fun, or let's say interesting and not boring. Fun might be a stretch. But anyway, when I covered The Old Man and the Sea in folklore classes, or maybe it was English at the time, I asked the prof, I said, you know, what else would I like? And he said, you'll definitely like The Sun Also Rises. And I did. Now, he writes a lot of short stories. Another book you might have heard of. Let's see. I'm looking now. I just brought it up. What else might you have heard of? Give me a second. I'm reading a lot. Like, it's a lot of short stories, right? Oh, For Whom the Bell Tolls. There, I know you might have heard of that. It's been referred to in many movies and songs. Anyway, he's just a famous writer. You know how those of you that are into Shakespeare, or at least had to take it in school and suffer through it, but you're aware that, you know, he wrote a lot of plays and poems. Hemingway wrote a lot of short stories. And I remember just, you know, short stories being a book the size of a novel might have 20 or 30 in there, right? Oscar Wilde is another author that's the case. So they're not always famous because they're not long and they're not to be dissected in English class the way The Old Man and the Sea would be, or any famous, intriguing book of the 20th century. But yeah, here you go. Ernest Hemingway, The Complete Short Stories. So that came out in 1953. And I'd recommend that, especially if you know, a lot of times now, might be a victim of the times we're in, but you don't want to listen to, or you don't want to read a book that, I mean, I do, but but still, not all the time. I get how our attention spans are changing. And as much as I shit on the newer generations for that, I'm a victim of it as well, right? On a smaller scale, but often to pick up a classic book and read it seems like a bit of a chore, and it used to be fun for me. Again, fun might be the wrong word. It's interesting. But trust me, when you just make the decision to throw your phone the fuck in the corner somewhere, turn off the lights, maybe some candles, maybe a dimly lit light, some ambiance, maybe next to a fire, but there is a place for reading, and I'm sure that everybody, if you find the right thing, would still enjoy it. Like, you know, and that doesn't count reading TikTok or reading, you know, Instagram fucking comments or YouTube comments or whatever. I mean, grab a book, fucking open the thing and read as people have done for, have had the privilege before the last 100 years or so. To own books was a privilege. That was the video games of the time. That was the movies, right? Books. Read books, get educated, and enjoy doing it. And with so many options that are, I guess, easier on the eyes, quicker to the trigger finger, that are much easier to digest. Reading books anyway, went the way of the dodo bird. But I'm telling you right now, If you want to read a full novel, try The Sun Also Rises or The Old Man and the Sea. I can't speak for the others. I know they're probably great. I hear For Whom the Bell Tolls is great. I just haven't read it. A Farewell to Arms is another one. That's good, apparently. But anyway, the complete short stories. I'm going to read it again. I highly recommend it. Anyway, that's that. I'm going to have Sean on my podcast tomorrow. Now, trust me, we're not going to go in like we did with JR and dissect his career. If you're listening going, I don't want to hear just an NCAA guy. A guy didn't make the NHL. No, but he's a fucking doctor. And that journey is interesting in itself, but more often or more than not, we're going to talk about what I'm going to do down there, maybe the history of hockey in that area, and I'm going to get his takes. He's a former hockey player that was shooting for the top just like we were. He didn't quite get there, but he got 5 years of good schooling in at Colby College and became a doctor, and that's an interesting path. So we'll dissect some of that, and what I'm saying is that he's a smart guy. He might have some decent takes on some recent NHL news. Hot topics, put it that way. So that's that. Now, I'm going to answer just a couple of questions that you guys have for me. And I know I said that we were going to do a Beatles episode, and we are. If you can believe it, I left my notes, a couple of my chargers, and that magazine I was drawing from. I left it on the plane. But it won't take me much to do up another Beatles episode. And we might even add it because I know some people love it. Some people hate it. A lot of people are in between. I know it's a hockey podcast. To dedicate one whole episode to breaking down Beatles songs might be a lot bit much for most of you. But A, you don't have to listen to it. And B, I think I'm just going to add it as an addendum or maybe a C. Maybe next week I'll do three episodes when I'm back here for longer. Finally, I get back for like 5 days straight. And then, of course, I'm off to Chicago the week after. Anyway, that'll be fun, and hopefully I get to meet Connor Bedard. And I love games in Chicago. I love Chicago. I could go there and have nothing to do with hockey and absolutely love it more than most cities I've ever been to. It's my favorite city in the United States of that magnitude. That's that big. Some of the smaller places I love, like Boise, Colorado Springs. Hence, I chose to play there. I love small town and medium town America, but I'm just saying, of the absolute huge fucking metropolises that have like two major league teams and shit like that, you know, we're talking New York, LA, we're talking Chicago, we're talking, I don't know, Houston, Dallas, Miami, you know. All great spots. I can go on and on. You know what a big city sounds like when you hear it. But I fucking love Chicago. Lake right in the middle. Beaches right in the middle of the city. Great music culture. Sports culture. Good people. Heartland of America. That kind of city. In and around. You go drive outside Chicago. Maybe for 2 hours in any direction. And that's also interesting as well. It's a real awesome part of North America that I love visiting. So I'm looking forward to that. If you're in the area, stay tuned to my Instagram and I'll definitely be. I think there's games on the 24th and the 26th. I'll be at those. And of course, we'll be hanging out somewhere. Just I'm not going to announce it right now. I don't know where, first of all. And I just stay tuned. Because I don't really know the plan yet, but I'm pretty excited. Okay, so Jenny, you asked me my favorite board game. I'm going to have to say Scrabble. It's probably a boring answer, but it's my favorite. And it's as much mathematical, I think, because once you got to realize, you know, it's one thing to spell words. Good at Scrabble is like knowing the two-letter words, and there's a lot of them that you would never think if you don't play Scrabble or actual words. You know, X-I, A-A, W-O, K-I. I'm rusty. I haven't played in a while. K-A and K-I are words. Anyway, more often than not, you'll win Scrabble at knowing the small words and knowing where to put them. Triple word scores, double letter scores, right? If you don't know what I'm talking about, I'll shut up now. But that is my favorite. As a kid, probably Monopoly, you know, the old standard. That was fun. It got the family together, started just the right amount of arguments, right? The game of life, the game Risk, or the game Monopoly started just the right amount of arguments for me. It was great because you love that in a family gathering, right? You want to see a little bit of piss and vinegar. People pissed off a little bit. And you wouldn't get that through Snakes and Ladders or, I don't know, fucking Pictionary or those. Although that's entertaining in its own right. But Monopoly, when it comes to money, even fake money, watch your fucking greaseball relatives try to fuck you over. All right. That's a little bit of fun. Anyway. Best concert ever. Oh, Jesus. Oh, comes from Mark. Mark? In Australia. Oh, God. There's been so many. I loved seeing the Eagles with my daughter in Toronto. I don't know if it was the best concert I've ever been at. The Eagles have a lot of great tunes, but it was awesome to be there with my daughter and take her to her first big time. Ah, we saw Jackson Brown too. That was kind of big time, but the Eagles are big, big time, big time. I loved AC/DC. It's tough to top that. I saw them at the Big O in Montreal, which is Olympic Stadium where the Expos used to play. And I've seen a lot. I tell you what, I'm looking forward to coming up. I'm going to Green Day. I think it's August 1st in TO. I'm going to bring my dad. He doesn't know that now. And he doesn't listen to the A podcasts. He only listens to the B. So he won't know I'm saying this. But yeah, if you're one of my buddies and you're listening to this right now and you're in the Toronto area, mark it down. Green Day, it's either August. It's right around August 1st. I track their tour, and it's then that they're playing at the Budweiser stage too, which will be fucking awesome. I'm going to that. And Penny Lane wants to see Paul McCartney, so we're going to go. I know he's a little bit older now, but a little bit he's older. But it's always an unreal fucking vibe at a Beatles concert of any sort, any Beatles gathering. It's unlike anything you've ever been at. Speaking of the opposite of that, Metallica. Also a great concert. I saw him in Calgary. That's definitely one of the best, but wow, it got out of hand in a hurry. Like the bathrooms, just got all kinds of people doing blow, like right out in front of everyone there. People screwing in the stalls. Like it was that, and it was all over. It wasn't unique to one bathroom. It was chaos. But fun nevertheless, and an unfucking real show.
We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code THPN. New customers can bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets, only on DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gambling resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved.
Simon, you could chat with someone dead, not a relative or a pal. Who would it be? Who would it be? It'd be Jesus Christ is who it'd be, because I believe he existed. I'm not religious, as you know, but I'd like to get his take on all this shit. And, you know, come on, Jesus, tell me the truth here. Come on, can you really make that water wine? Really? You're going to part seas and all that? Or that was Moses. But whatever, you know, all that magic. Let's see it. Because the world needs it now, Jesus. So let me see you do something. Snap your fucking fingers and solve these problems that we have. There's a lot of hate going on, Jesus. And you're supposed to solve that, aren't you? I don't want to hear the answer. You're coming back for the Armageddon or whatever and taking people that follow you up to heaven and all that bullshit. I want to talk to Jesus in a one-on-fucking-one. Okay, Jesus, you're coming on the podcast. Tell me. Now, Mary had to get pregnant. I don't believe that. that she wasn't. So you came from somewhere. Now, who's your dad humanly? Is it Joseph, like it should have been? Or was Mary screwing around on the side, right? Or did God really come down and put his seed inside of her? Because I just don't see that happening. And even if you were God, you wouldn't need to do that. You wouldn't need to do it, would you? I guess to prove a point. But all of the above. My first question would be, Jesus, you can't be the Son of God. Now tell us, you're a good prophet, aren't you? You're a great prophet. Now tell us how you gripped all of those imaginations, how there's still people following a book that in it says, Jesus, how did you do this? How did you get people in 2024 to believe that two of everything got onto a boat and then your dad drowned the rest of the world and we're cool with that, right? Because they were sinners. Can you imagine now? If that happened now, of course, people would be terrified. They would speak out against him or it or whatever you want to say. This is bullshit. You know, I'm a good person. But again, if you believe the Bible, at least the Old Testament, then you have to get on board with Noah's Ark. And that story to me is as insane as any Scientologist, as any Mormon. Things that Catholics laugh at, and I am a Catholic. I mean, technically. And if you're religious, please bear with me here, because I'm not, but it doesn't. I don't hate you. I've talked about this a lot, and maybe too much for a hockey podcast, but I just think it's one of the fundamental things in life, what we believe in, and I'm fascinated. Thousands of years went by, and we still believe that, like Noah or Moses went up on a mountain and got 10 commandments given to him. He carried them down. Then he parted the Red Sea when they needed to get across, right? No bridge was built, right? Anything could have been said. A bridge, you could have walked around it. I don't know. Maybe people had gills and could breathe underwater, whatever. No, but the story that's in there is that Moses parted the Red Sea. I think it was Moses. I don't care anymore, so I don't watch, or I don't read. But I read a lot in school. And the Bible has some crazy stories of rape and incest. And I mean, if you're going to believe some of it, you got to believe all of it. Now, how, Jesus, did you do that? Now, maybe it's real, Jesus. I can talk to you. Maybe you're going to prove me wrong and say, well, it was tough, but we gathered up everything with Noah, every insect, every species of everything. And Terry, we're talking two of everything, you realize? Because when I read the story, I just hear the popular things like the goats and the zebras and the kangaroos and the elephants. And we got two exactly of everything, male and female, put them on the boat, the ark, that's still apparently out there somewhere. And that's how animals survived the great flood. Now, I would say, just like the Adam and Eve story, Jesus, how come today, if I fuck my sister, I don't have a sister, but if I do, and she has kids, they're likely to have a birth defect if brother and sister have sex, or mother and son, or father and daughter, or father and son, or mother and daughter, or whatever. What usually comes out of that, I guess not the last two, but other than that, what usually comes out of incestual sex leading to pregnancy are risk for deformities and things like that. I don't want to keep going into that, because the sky's the limit. I don't know. Deformities is the easiest way to put it. Disease. Yet, Jesus, you pulled it off with Adam and Eve, right? Who were there? Was it Cain and Abel? So they must have screwed Eve, right? If you go there. And then if science tells us today that it's proven, obviously, right? If you have sex with your sister or your mom or your dad, leading to pregnancy, it's probably bad for the kid. But if you believe the Noah's Ark story, then everything is based on incest. Like for at least like 3 or 4 or 5 generations, you would have had to screw your real close relative, right? Am I wrong? Those are questions I'd have for Jesus. And I don't mean this to be sarcastic. It kind of sounds like that. Maybe the joke's on me, right? But again, I do believe in Jesus. I do believe he was an unreal prophet. His teachings I even believe in. I mean, who doesn't want to give on to others as you want to do on to yourself, right? I'm totally on board with that. And if he was around here now, I'd probably follow him for that reason. But I wouldn't follow him because he said he was the son of God and he was born to a virgin and, you know, the whole Noah's Ark and all that shit. I don't believe that. But I do. His teachings, of course, don't take everything I'm saying for a slap in the face to that kind of idea or a prophet. There's been unfucking real prophets out there. If you want to put Nostradamus into that category, people say predicted the future. Some things maybe led to that sort of thing looking like that, but he was still a prophet. Not all prophets are religious. And judging on when he lived, he probably had to be religious to some degree. But, you know, people are, Galileo was prophesizing, really, when he said, I mean, he was making a statement, the earth is round. He nearly got put to death for people saying that. That's another thing with religion, right? Once we know the earth's round. Once that happened, okay, it's another asterisk. Okay, we'll go back in the Bible and we'll just specifically believe other things, right? We'll believe other things now that that's proven. So there, off the top of my head, there's two things, incest and the world being round, that kind of prove the Bible wrong or at least curiously inept. Anyway, Jesus is the answer. Fuck, that could, I could go on for 3 hours with that answer. One place I haven't visited on my bucket list. Well, there's so many, but Australia for sure. I want to go there someday. It's just so far away, it's elusive. And probably at some point, I do want to go to like the major cities, Asian cities. I want to, Hong Kong, I want to start with at some point. I've heard good, bad, ugly, but there's like a lot of their everyday living inventions don't make it over here. Like everything from like toilets, not that I'm going there for a toilet, but I don't know, you know, like little nuances to things that we have. Everything from instruments to pots, pans, like I said, toilets for some reason. I just don't know why my head went there, but cars and the way they handle themselves. Like, we don't get all the Asian cultures. I think we don't get the full grasp of it in North America. I mean, we might see somebody that's, I don't know, Japanese or Chinese. We might eat Vietnamese food downtown or wherever we are and get together. And you might gather a lot of their culture that way. But there's a whole lot more. Like, imagine if I was in Hong Kong and someone had never been anywhere else and saw a white guy from Newfoundland and judged me because, or not judged is the wrong word, but like everything that, when they looked at me, they only saw like fish and chips, rubber boots, Jig's dinner, you know, and a lot of it revolves around food, which is just one part of life. Like the Odd Song makes it. Remember that Gangnam Style, annoying song, but that came from there. So you know they have a pop chart. You know that there's good songs like there are over here. We just don't hear them. Like, I'm sure they know a lot about Western culture, and a lot of people here know about a lot about their culture. But you know what I'm saying. There are like their famous TV or their most popular TV shows. I have no idea. Other than those ones, like you got to go through an obstacle course. Those are kind of funny. But there's a whole world, and I'm including Australia too. There's a whole world there. They don't necessarily look much different than me, given that. Can I even talk about like white, black, Chinese, or I'm just, because I'm not trying to be ignorant or canceled here. I'm just really saying it. Like, you know, a lot of, I think, judging by, I know way more people that have been to Australia. Australia is an island. It's a way bigger one than Newfoundland, but it's a big one. A lot of the things, I don't know, they're into baseball, and I know hockey's catching on over there. They seem to be in a lot of the same shows. Shorzy's really popular in Australia. I don't think you could say that for the Asian world. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm not saying that in judging at all. I'm just saying I feel like I have a little bit more in common with Australians. Well, they speak English as a first language. So, but there's still, I want to go to each place probably equally as much, right? I don't see a downside to visiting. Now, those are the two. If I could just go somewhere different every like few months, I would even want to go to the North Pole at some point. I would want to see what's going down. Maybe the actual North Pole probably wouldn't be much of, you know, I don't really care where it is geographically, but up that way. Like, I would want to see what it would be like to hang in a igloo for a few days, maybe see a polar bear. And again, I know that in Northern Labrador, and sometimes they make their way on ice sheets down to Newfoundland. But I mean, you know, I'd like to see north as much as I'd like to see tropical. If I had to pick North Pole or South Pole, I'd pick South, because I don't think we have penguins. No, we don't. In the Northern Hemisphere, we don't have penguins, but in the Southern Hemisphere, they do. And I'd like to see that as well. When I say Australia, New Zealand is right there. And I mean, it's right next to it. So I'd like to kill two birds with one stone. Time travel. A lot of people are asking me the same questions I asked other people in rapid fire randoms. Time travel, where would I want to go? Huh. I hate to use the Jesus thing again. If you're religious, more power to you. Until it affects real life, I think expanding on what we were saying earlier, I think religion can be a little bit dangerous when you get the fanatics, but most aren't fanatics. And I would like to go to that time again just to see what was happening. Like, when I'm lumping all this Bible stuff, I'm saying the Old Testament, right? And that's where Noah's Ark and Adam and Eve exist. The New Testament is pretty much like Jesus. So 2,000 years ago, in and around that time, the New Testament is for the most part believable. Again, I just don't believe the holy part of it. But that's me. Maybe I'm wrong. And I still would want to see, because, you know, the stories that are in the Bible, you know, like Pontius Pilate is a real person. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the apostles, they're real people. And so I'd like to, you know, whatever happened then inspired the Bible to be written, for better or worse, and people still hang on to it. And I'm fucking fascinated by that, if you can't tell. So there, I'd want to go there. I'm going to give you a more interesting answer. If it was like, of course, I'd like to go in the future, not like a ways into the future, if I could, and see what I wouldn't want to see like 80 years from now. I wouldn't want to see my daughter as an old lady about to pass away, or as much as it'd be nice to see her kids or whatever happens there. Hopefully she lives a long time. I wouldn't want to go anywhere handy to seeing my daughter as an old lady on the verge of death. I wouldn't want that. But going beyond that, with no like personal attachment to her like great-great-great-grandkids, that'd be cool. I'd like to go to like maybe, I don't know, the year 2200 or something, and see what's going down, if we're still around, if religion, politics, sports is all the same way. You know, if it's evolved, but it's still kind of the way we see it right now. For example, has the NHL, the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, have they gone global? Can we go to the moon for a joke? Can we teleport? Have we made it out of our universe, out of our galaxy? Oh, no, our solar system. Fuck, I don't think we'll have made it out of our universe or galaxy unless we find some, yeah, like I said, some portal. But who knows? Anything's possible, right? Look at where we're living right now. If you said any of this to someone 100 years ago, much less 200 years ago, much less 5,000 years ago, right? People were still around. Until I went back to school, I discredited the past a little bit. I'd be like, almost like ignorantly, like everything that came black and white television before. Sound like, even now, if I say, oh, this player was great, a great hockey player in the 1940s. Most people don't even give a shit. They're like, well, it wasn't real hockey. They're still the best people that are playing the sport at the time. They're not given the tools or anything. But if you, if you're listening, or I could be talking to a rec hockey player or an NHL player right now. I know your first reaction is, ah, they suck back then. But they didn't, though. They only had straight sticks because that's what they used. The skates obviously didn't last as long as ours do now. The equipment was different. But still, giving all that, they had to go out there and there was still, it's all relative, right? In relative terms, they were the best. And there's something to be said for that. If you go back, there's a couple on YouTube where they read the Roman soldiers' letters out loud. And you'll be like, the Romans had a system. It wasn't just chaos on the battlefield and everything like people think. Now, lots of people had a system, okay? The Egyptians, the Persians, which was the Egyptians, the Greeks, God, I can't go on and on. There's Inca, there's all kinds of civilizations or there's all kinds of empires and that have come and gone, and the big difference, I guess, with us today is electricity. Other than that, look at the Romans again, right? Most people are familiar with that. And you see pictures of the Colosseum and everything. The Colosseum in Rome, right? It's built the same way the Air Canada Center would be today, or the Staples Center or whatever, which is amazing. We're still fine. We're still using their infrastructure, the government system, right? It's not exactly like ours, but there was a Roman Senate until Caesar, who I think was the first actual emperor, I believe. And because before that, there might have been someone calling most of the shots, but there was a consul that brought up to the Senate ideas, and it would have to pass through the Senate, and the senators were there based on people's votes, just like today, right? There was workers, there was part of the reason that there's so much the Russian or the Roman Forum and like the Colosseum and in and around that, you know, all the big statues and infrastructure that kind of you might look at today and say it's needless. You know, why did Caesar build so many statues of himself? And you know, the Parthenon and all these things, they're great structures, but well, they did it, put people at work. First of all, Caesar did a lot of it. So, you know, we can pay you, we got money, we could put the people to work just like they would now. It's similar to why the United States, a lot of countries, but the United States could blow up the world 100 times over, more than that. Their military is bigger, you know, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger when it's, you might argue this, but some of it at least is unnecessary, but it puts people to work, right? It's always been that way. That's why in times of war, look back even just at Canadian or United States history. I'm saying, you know, I guess if you're other places, I just don't know the history as well, but I'm betting that it's the same. That, you know, times of war, the economy thrived, right? So, and that's money that's created by the government. Things like store owners and post office or lawyers or doctors, or those are things that are kind of trickle down after the system's in place and you know, you go to school and but people that are actually looking for work, like a lot of laborers that might be flying by the seat of their pants, or don't have the same fucking opportunity that a lawyer or a doctor would. It was the same thing back then. So like building the Roman Colosseum, Romans loved it, right? Where we're expanding our territory. Look at how big that territory went. It was like fucking half the earth. The Romans went right into London, England, and over to fucking the Middle East somewhere. I forget where, but it went right into the Middle East, right? All that being ruled by basically one government, right? With branches, of course. They'd send out governors and like they do now to, I don't know, think of a senator or a congressman or woman, right? But anyway, I'm fascinated by all of it. And the Romans had fucking aqueducts. They had a system of like flushing toilets, right? Scalping tickets to see events, like going in, and it was like going to a Leafs game or something. So when you read these letters from the soldiers, they're fascinating. It'll be like, hi, honey, I'm going to stay 2 weeks longer because then I get into the union of sorts, and I'm going to get paid more money. And you'll be, and by the way, if I die at war, I've already become this level of soldier, and you're going to get like getting 400 games in the NHL in, right? You get your pension, right? Same thing with soldiers, whatever it might have been, three battles worth of this, and you'd gain not notoriety, but a resume as you went, and you get paid accordingly. Families would get compensated, right? Even as crazy as Genghis Khan was, and that's 1,200 years, 1,300 years after Caesar, and in, you know, the year, well, 1,200, because Caesar, I believe, was only 50 years BC, 50 years before Jesus. Alexander the Great was right around that time, too. I think maybe a little tiny bit before. But anyway, like they're, you know, I think people often tend to pass off the past like it's a joke. But there was the same, like, wake up, take your kids to school, read into some Roman history that's not like the major conquests, and you'll be fucking blown away. Get up, take your kids to school, right? Go, what are you doing today, honey? Well, I'm running the store down there, and, you know, you're going to go up and work at building the road, and the woman would work sometimes, not all the time, but like Cleopatra ran Egypt. It's a woman. Still hasn't been a woman president, right? So, again, and I'm saying that because people can go back and say, well, you know, women were owned, or women were slaves, or women couldn't. Yeah, some parts of the world, they were. In Egypt, women could be queen. Well, lots of women could always be queens, but queens could run things, and it could be a woman, no problem, right? No sweat at all. So there's been ups and downs in human history, but we're always adapting. And in fucking 2,000 years from now, people are going to look back at this and say, can you fucking believe that? Can you believe it? And things change. That's the way it goes. Adapt, evolved. Adapt, evolve. Anyway, that's it. I hope I didn't offend you again if you're religious. It's obviously something in my subconscious all the time. But I'm just a fan of, like the Beatles said, Penny Lane and I have two commandments, if you want to call them that, or two. Remember when she was like 3 or 4 years old, we spoke about it, and it was A, all you need is love, and B, do unto others like you'd want done unto yourself. And that is right out of the Bible. The Bible is not a bad thing. Some of it is crazy, but the Bible in itself, I don't think is bad at all. And the Beatles said it best, all you need is love. Those two things, I think you can kind of cancel out most of those commandments or to-dos or to-do-not or to-not-dos or whatever it is, whatever it might be. Anyway, thanks. We're going to have Sean O'Grady on tomorrow. I'm going to do a Beatles episode next week. We got Pierre Maguire coming on, and I know he's at least polarizing, and he's always been nice to me. I know people give him a hard time, but I think Pierre Maguire is actually a pretty good guy now that I got to know him a bit. Anyway, he's coming on. Mike Commodore is coming on. We got a list of interesting guests. Tomorrow, like I said, we're going to talk a little bit about my trip to Sun Valley, Idaho. And now we're going to get Dr. Sean O'Grady's little bit of his history and take on all things hockey right now. Thanks for listening, folks. Downtown St. John's. I'm going to tell you a few places that you're going to go for a beer if you know what's good for you. The Bull and Barrel, Trinity Pub, TJ's Pub, Rob Roy Confusion, Martini Bar, Greensleeves. I said them all, did I? Martini, yeah. Wow, I'm off my game. Sean O'Grady, actually, our guest tomorrow. So he actually used to work at Trinity Pub. And anyway, we'll talk about that then. If you're going to go for a bite to eat, try the Loose Tie, Merchant Tavern, or Blue on Water. If by extension, if you're in the East End of St. John's, go into Wedgwood Cafe and grab yourself a fucking sandwich or something. You deserve it. And Wedgwood Cafe is run by Peter Wedgwood. They also do catering. He's a great guy. He's a great chef. He's a great person. Look no further than Peter Wedgwood, Wedgwood Cafe, Elizabeth Avenue. If you want to work out, you want to change your life a little bit, strength and balance for the body and mind, Ryan Power, Power Conditioning on Rope Walk Lane. There's two locations, Mr. Lube in St. John's, Newfoundland and Labrador. One is on Kemmer Road. One is on Topsail Road. Chris Sparks. Live, laugh, loop. Pitbull Pain Relief, the pain sticks that just don't quit. And of course, True Hockey. Take what's yours, folks. I'll be back tomorrow with more Tales with TR. Thanks for listening. I appreciate it. I'll see you guys soon. Catch you on the rebound.